views expressed on the following live program do not necessarily reflect those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Well, we're not going to waste a lot of time with that theme song today. We've got some talking to do. This is Richard Quigley in for my Thursday noontime or so weekly little United States Freedom Fighter Forum. And boy, did the lid come off last night. It doesn't matter what I was going to talk about today. I think everybody's of one mind and one topic, and you're talking to each other. So I'm inviting you to pick up that phone and give me a call and talk to me about what your pick is out of this 3.5 million candidates or whatever they're running. I don't know. There's more numbers than I can count. and I want to restate for the record, I announced last week I was not going to run for governor. I have been asked 20 times since then whether or not I'm going to do it, and it's I don't run just for the sake of running, folks, but no, I'm not going to run for governor. My biggest disappointment, of course, in this whole thing was Mr. Bustamante, because if you folks will remember last week, I talked about him, I think the week before, how proud I was of this honorable young man who said that he wasn't going to run. And lo and behold, here he is doing the very thing I said he wasn't going to. Disappointed, a little bit angry. I'm not quite sure how I feel about it, but beyond that, but it's just, doggone it. You think you know somebody, and you know, he's been around a long time, and I thought he was, I thought he had more character than that. But man's only as strong as his latest lie, and I think the Bustamante thing comes down to, and this is the thing that folks ought to be paying attention to about Bustamante's throwing his hat in the ring. It's not so much whether or not he's a viable candidate. It's not even whether or not he's an electable candidate. It's why he waited till last night to announce that he's running. And I personally believe that that was a deal that he made with the Democratic Party, that as long as there was no viable candidate from the Republican side, that he would go ahead and tell people he wasn't going to run. No comment would have served him better today then I will not run for governor. I will not join the fray. But, Mr. Bustamante is going to run. Our lieutenant governor wants to run for governor now. And so what that tells me, and I think most of the ones that are watching the politics of today, is that that announcement by Arnold Schwarzenegger last night had its impact. So the call-in lines, 479-1080. 477-1340, that's area code 831. That'll put you in touch with our interns here at the KSCO studios and get you on the air to pitch your pick of the folks that it's clear now are going to be in the running to replace gray fading to black Davis. And good riddance as far as I'm concerned. But, yeah, what do I know? I voted for Nixon twice, you know. Did I? Yeah, I did. I voted for Nixon both times. So there's a Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to run for governor of the state of California. In some ways, that seems absolutely appropriate. One of my main complaints has been that California is a fascist police state. And to have an Austrian son of a Nazi party member throw his hat in the ring to run for governor of the state of California. it's steps up to, if not beyond, irony. And the only real concern about whether or not he'll win, or thought about whether or not he'll win, goes back to what an old man said a long time ago. H.L. Mencken? H.L. Mencken is the one that said nobody ever went broke, underestimating the taste or intelligence of the American public. And it might be that California is the shining star of that particular dynamic. It may be that nobody ever failed to get elected by underestimating the taste or intelligence of the California public, California voters. But here we are. We've got a room full of candidates. We've got everything from, I'm trying to think what to call those things now. Hold on a minute. My head went blank. I'm thinking of Gary Coleman standing there, Governor Gary Coleman. Now, there's a picture for the ages. Didn't they call him Arnold? Wasn't his name Arnold when he was the character he played for so long on television? Yeah, Gary Coleman's a candidate. Larry Flint, and quite frankly, folks, today, if the election were held today, it'd be Larry Flint for me. And for all those of you who are offended by that notion, let me point out to you that because I do it on a regular basis, I got a lot of respect for anybody that will put their ass on the line to protect the Constitution. And Larry Flint is a great freedom fighter. Whether or not I concur with his moral bent is long since decided. I think he's a seedy old man, but I'll tell you, he has a clear understanding of right and wrong. He's very pragmatic, clear thinking, and loves this country and loves its Constitution. And like I say, anybody that's gone to jail in a fight to protect the Constitution, as far as I'm concerned, is one step above anybody that might want to criticize him. So, good for Larry. He's in there. That thong salesman, salesperson, interesting candidate. I'm not really sure how that fits in with the criteria for California, but maybe that's where we're going. Who knows? I'm waiting to hear from you. The numbers are 479-1080, 477-1340. I'm not going to sit here and preach about the recall all by my lonesome today. You folks are really going to have to give us a call and get involved. I haven't asked for calls before, but I'm telling you, if you got a candidate out there that you think is viable, now's the time to talk about it, because I think that we're hearing the death rattle on Gray Davis. That whether or not this recall is going down is pretty much, I think that Bustamante announcement last night is pretty much the death rattle for the Democrats in the governorship in California. I can't believe that he'd be running if it weren't. Bruce from Brookdale wants to talk about Larry Flint. Bruce, are you there?
I am.
Talk to me. What's your opinion on Mr. Flint as a gubernatorial candidate?
I support it. I like Arnold better, but I like Larry Flint because a long time ago, he published advertisements in his Tasteless magazine, which I refuse to look at.
Yeah, as do I.
Right. But he published anti-smoking ads, and the tobacco company said, you pull these ads or we're going to quit advertising. And he said, screw you. You can't tell me what to do. And he lost a lot of money because they pulled out their advertisements.
Oh, he's given up over the years. He's given up enough of a fortune that you and I could live comfortably forever on what that man has surrendered for freedom.
Well, that depends. See, if you actually had to apply for permits in this county, it would probably be even.
Yeah, well, you don't have to apply for a permit if you're not going to build anything. But then,
well, no, actually, you have to apply for a permit if you're going to be legal. But the permit fees are so outrageous. Anyway, the thing is, Larry Flint puts his money where his mouth is.
Yes, sir.
That's what I appreciate.
Yeah, he puts his life where his mouth is, and that's what I appreciate about him. And I think that a clear talker like him, at worst case scenario, he would liven things up and shake some things up, and I don't know that that's such a terrible idea.
That's not such a worst case scenario. Look at Minnesota with Jesse Ventura.
Isn't that interesting? Because that was right where I was going.
He did great.
Yeah, Jesse did a great job as governor for those people, and they were very happy with him,
and everybody
thought the idea was ludicrous. I'm just not sure about Arnold. I'm sorry,
I am sure about Arnold.
Oh, yeah, you think he's got the right stuff?
Are you kidding me? This guy came to the U.S. He was an immigrant. The thing is, I know him, okay?
Well, you personally know him?
Well, he doesn't know me, but I know him.
Oh, okay. I got it.
But when he first came over, fresh off the boat, he sat next to me at a weightlifting contest, not a bodybuilding contest, but the old-fashioned overhead lifting contest.
Right.
For 3-4 hours.
Right.
And, you know, we talked a little bit. He could barely speak English. But he made his money not in bodybuilding, but in real estate. He's an astute businessman.
Oh, yeah, he's a real good businessman. And it's clear that he's got a sense of humor. And,
yeah.
And of course, I don't consider the Kennedy factor even worth counting. That does, as far as I'm concerned, that doesn't make any difference.
What Kennedy factor?
Well, the fact that he's married to one of the Kennedy line.
That's what I mean. What Kennedy factor?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm a little slow today. But, yeah.
He's reasonable. He's pro-choice. He's pro-gay rights. You know what? He's the best. He's fiscally responsible. He's pro marijuana.
Oh, I don't know he's necessarily pro, but that one of the dings on him, as they put it, is that the guy is a pot smoker or was a pot smoker at some point.
Is that going to hurt him in California?
I don't think so.
Actually, he's not in favor of it.
No. The thing of it is that your position is absolutely a viable position in this state right now, and that's made very clear by the Democratic Party. When Bustamante, on the heels of the announcement by Schwarzenegger, and what was it, within minutes? I mean, it couldn't have been an hour from the time that they taped that show with Leno.
Well, you know what's going to happen? My prediction?
Sure, go ahead.
Is Gray Davis is going to quit. He'll have some good reason. Therefore, Bustamante will become the governor.
It can't happen that way, Bruce.
It can, too.
No, sir. It can't happen that way.
Wait.
Okay.
If Gray Davis were to quit tomorrow, what would happen?
Okay, Bustamante would stand in temporarily, but the recall would proceed.
That's correct. But the thing is, he will have a certain amount of political momentum because of that. And he can disavow everything that Davis screwed up, because Davis had the line item veto. And if Davis has the line item veto, how can he possibly claim that all the budget problems aren't his fault?
Yeah, that's a fact.
He could have vetoed anything. And then if they would have overridden him, he could say, hey, look, I tried to cut this out, but they overrode me. But he didn't.
Well, we didn't get in trouble over his failure to veto, as far as I'm concerned. We got in trouble for some of the deals that he was making as governor that ended up affecting everybody outside the legislature's purview.
You're preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway.
Okay, Bruce. Listen, I'm going to have to go, not because I got a whole bunch of callers, because I guess this isn't a subject that's important to talk about on the radio, but I do have to let you go.
Well, actually,
thank you much for the call.
Sure.
Yeah, it's not exactly an overwhelming visit from the folks out there listening to the radio today, but so far we got the first boat cast for our little Austrian buddy. I have mixed emotions about him, and the reason I'm not going to get so seriously dedicated to making my choice right now is because we still have a month and a half or so to decide what's going to happen to deal with it. But there's a lot of people in the race. I last night, one of the things that I'm pretty sure it was Schwarzenegger that brought it up. Right now, the whole United States has got to be looking at this thing. This California recall. This was the thing that could never happen. This was not going to happen. They weren't going to get enough signatures. And then the recall wasn't going to take over. And I think right now that if we were doing Vegas odds, they would be leaning toward strongly. The odds would be favoring this recall happening. Gray Davis is toast. And like I said, the best evidence of that is Bustamante's entrance into it. Roxanne's on line one, and looks like if I can punch that button hard enough, we'll get her on the air and find out who she wants to be governor. Roxanne, how are you today? Welcome to KSCO.
Hi, Richard. You know, I really feel, and I want you to know I'm not a fan of Gray Davis's at all, but I feel that much of the budget that he inherited came from Pete Wilson's realignment. And I feel like I know what I'm talking about because I was actually part of that realignment working for the county. They realigned every agency, every person that Pete Wilson changed as the head of agencies when he came into office, did some sort of realignment of their offices statewide. So I worked in health services. At that time, they took positions that had been manned by lay people for about $2,100 a month and insisted on putting nurses in there, even though the position did not call for a nurse or that kind of skilled labor. And how they got the counties to go along with it was they offered to pay half of the salary of the new employee who was, you know, maybe a $3,500 a month employee.
Understood.
So it would save the counties $500 per employee. Now, they did that with every county in the state. Pete Wilson's regime indemnified the state of California in so many ways for monies that later, when things were not going well, they could not afford. And the truth was, it was all our money. If a position was being held by someone that did not need a nurse, there, whether the county saved $500 or not, all the money was ours. The,
yes,
now the $3,500 a month person, we're still paying it.
Yes.
And so they did that straight across the board. The other thing that happened right after that time was that there was a law passed that no one school district could be enriched more than the others.
I remember that.
Right. Well, how that has affected the state budget. Now, everybody had a fit when he cut educational, was going to cut funds to education. But what happened was every county and city like ours is very guilty, started getting redevelopment agencies that started taking money away from the schools. By the year 2015, redevelopment agencies will be taking 65% of the money from property taxes that was meant for the schools. So what happens is the state has to make up for that because of this law.
Right.
So in essence, Marty Wormout, our city council, are asking the state to pay their fair share so they can have the stupid sign down on River Street or,
oh, yeah,
or the crazy, you know, development in Beach Flats,
yeah,
that only replaces 30 apartments out of something like 140.
Yes, ma'am.
This is, we have done it. We went along with Pete Wilson's, a lot of his things. We got some bargains out of it, we thought, but really the state is crashing.
Well, wasn't, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Gray Davis controller while some or all of this was going on?
Yes, he was controller, but the controller's, as I understand the controller's job, the controller just basically is responsible for cutting the checks for the budget. I mean, having the computer control of what they're supposed to pay out. They don't have any say.
Well, I think, it's pretty much, it's almost contrary to where I come from to do the shoulda, woulda, coulda, but as state controller, my disappointment with Gray Davis is more of his failure as controller under Wilson, because I share your sentiments. I believe if there was a way to recall Pete Wilson for everything that has happened since Gray Davis has been governor, that would be the most just result.
Really would be.
He was a terrible, terrible governor. He was, this man brought with him everywhere he went police state mentality. He did it in San Diego and all the economic practices that follow. But he did it in San Diego. Anybody that when he was running for governor, I was sitting there, look at what he's done in San Diego before you decide you want to give him the state. And as a Republican, my circle of friends were not real proud of me for that. But he was a terrible Republican and a horrible governor. But Davis was not a stupid man. I do not know how he allowed himself to get in this mess. But I do know that if he'd have been pointing at some of these things before he got there, that he could have relieved a lot of the stress that's on him now from, yeah, you're right, a bucket of worms that was handed to him by people.
I don't think anybody else in the time they have left is going to be able to do any better a job. And I think this is going to cost us a bundle of money. And this is coming from someone who doesn't care for Gray Davis.
Well, I think
are you going to tell me Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, if he's elected, is really qualified?
Well, you know what Arnie brings to the table is that Arnie brings the potential to get the citizens of the state of California involved in their political process. He's the kind of guy that will come out and straight talk people into taking responsibility for helping
administer their government. And what we need right now in that position is not so much a guy that's a consummate politician or the experienced politician. What we need is a cheerleader that can actually get the people up out of their seats and moving to do something. Because this thing is not going to fix itself, Roxanne.
That's right. I mean, we're in this. There isn't the money.
No, it isn't. And it's what it is the lack of participation of the people in California. We're just too lethargic. And I don't think it's because the state overall approves of the use of medical marijuana. I don't think it's drug related. I think it's lazy related is the best I can give you. People just don't seem to care enough to do what's necessary to save this state. We've got the most beautiful state of the 50. I really believe that, or I wouldn't live here. And we've got resources up forever. Seventh largest economy in the world. Everybody talks about that, and yet we're sitting here suffering miserably. Because not because of the leadership, but because of the lack of participation of the people that live in this state. And if Arnold Schwarzenegger is the guy that can get everybody fired up and going, then let's do it. You know, I will support him at that level. I think that's one of the things that Larry Flint might be able to do. That is certainly what Jesse Ventura did. He was a guy
that is true. Jesse did a good job.
He did a great job. And it wasn't because he was a political master. It was because he was a communicator, and he talked sense to the people, and he let them feel like they were a part of it again, and he pulled them back in.
Well, you know, it just seems like everybody wants to solve things with a lawsuit. When we were facing our school closures,
yes, ma'am.
You know, all the parents, everyone ran for a lawyer. I'll show you. You're not going to close our school.
Yeah.
But if you tried to talk to them about how redevelopment was taking their kids' money and how this had come to pass and that they could solve it at a grassroots problem.
Yes.
The earthquake is over. We do not need Cecil Cirillo and that redevelopment department anymore.
At all.
We could lose
80% of the planning department, and we'd still do fine in this county. In fact, we do a lot better in this county.
But you see, people were much more bent to hiring an attorney to do this for them and keep their school open. Everybody's so, you have two working parents per family. I mean, yeah. I don't know what the answer is to get people going, because to me it looks pretty simple. Like, let's get them the hell out of here.
Yes, ma'am, I'm on your side. And like I say, I think more than anything, what we need is more than a political strategist, more than an economist, more than a politician. We need a real good cheerleader. And when I'm looking at governor, I'm going to be looking at that hardest of all, because apathy is our enemy. Roxanne, it's time
Thank
to
you. That's an interesting slant. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Roxanne.
Hi, Richard.
For the call. And with that opportunity, what we're going to do is take a break and listen to some commercials. Be back in just a few.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet's been serving the Monterey Bay since 1994 with high-quality, affordable internet service.
Okay, we're back. This is KSCO, Talk Radio, Santa Cruz. Call-in lines are 479-1080, 477-1340. We decided to talk about the recall election and all the various candidates for that today. I am looking up here at Joel from Aptos is going to call. As soon as I get a green light here, we'll put Joel on and find out what he's got on George Swinton? Give me the line. Let me find out who George Shinton. Who are you talking about, Joel? Welcome to KSCO. Hello? Have I got this pushed wrong? Hello, Joel. Welcome to KSCO.
Yeah, hi. Am I here?
Yeah, who is George?
Washington.
Oh.
Your $1 bill.
Yeah, he's running for governor?
No, he issued a stern warning against the baneful influence of parties in his farewell address. They came between the people and their representatives, distracted the public councils, agitated the community with ill-founded jealousies and alarms, and were especially dangerous as channels of foreign intrigue. And I see the recall as, you know, just partisan activity because they can. It has nothing to do with the people. And, you know, it's a mockery of the people, but, you know, as you've been pointing out, the people just sit there and take it. And it would be nice to have a candidate that energizes people and gets them up and involved.
Well, yeah, and of the many selections, which one of you decided looks best so far?
Got to be Leon Panetta, the only guy. We have a budget mess. He's the budget master.
Excuse me? He comes in clean.
He can get out of here clean.
Well, now, pardon me.
And he'd get elected.
Is he on the ballot?
Well, I sent him an email telling him that's what he needed to do.
So
plan B is he could come out as Gray's OMB. And Gray could sit in the doghouse for the remainder of his term and let Leon, you know, crunch his numbers.
So you think Leon Panetta would be the guy that ought to be running for governor of the state of California?
Only one who can pull it off.
And you think it's because he's a financial master, not because he's a leader?
Both. But he has that financial mastery that few do. I also want to point out, you know, Gray inherited the fifth largest economy in the world, which he'd brag about and steal credit for.
So,
he's so busy doing that, asleep at the wheel, you know, the energy thing came and the stock market tumbled. And
so now he's running down to the seventh largest.
Well, it has tumbled, but it's, you know, on Gray's watch. But I just want to point out the irony of his arrogance that he was taking credit for, you know, for their prosperity.
Well, I appreciate the output and the input, and we'll look for Leon to make an announcement shortly based on your email to him. Joel, thank you very much for calling KSCR.
Yes.
There is one thing I do want to say about Mr. Panetta, and I'm not a big fan of Leon Panetta. I'm a little bit stunned, but Leon Panetta. I met Leon Panetta in person, and I think it was 1987, and congressman at the time, I believe, and I was having a little bit of a problem with some violations of my constitutional rights relative to property and the like, which some folks like to refer to as a paper fiction. And I stopped by his office and explained to him the things that had gone on and had happened to me. And that was in my naive days. It was before I understood that in fact, is the way the government works, that what's yours is only yours as long as they want you to control it. And then when the government decides that they want it or they want to give it to somebody else, it's not yours anymore. And there is a solution to that. And the only one that Mr. Panetta offered me as I sat in his office explaining this dynamic, yeah, my disappointment with it and looking for help, was that Mr. Panetta pointed out the protection of my constitutional rights were only available through the services of what he deemed a good attorney, which most of us, I think, see as an oxymoron, but at least in most cases. And so I've never been able to really move away from that perspective. If Leon Panetta's sense is that the only protections that we have of our constitutional rights are contingent on the services of a good attorney, he would most certainly be a typical governor for the state of California. But I don't know that I would necessarily personally think he's a good one, Joel. Nothing personal against you, but I'm just not a big fan of Leon Panetta. What about Gary Coleman? Anybody out there think that Gary might be the guy? I've heard some of his political views. I've certainly followed, like most of you have, with little or no interest, his waning career in acting and the backside of that, and his many, many jobs as a security guard. I'm not sure why Gary Coleman ran, except maybe his agent said that if he did that, he'd get some television time and maybe somebody would rediscover him. Some folks don't know when their time is up. And by the number of calls today, I might be among them. We have, who is that? I'm trying to think of that other politician that threw their hat. Oh, I was going to tell you guys about Bill Lockyer. And I'd like to get your feedback on Bill Lockyer. Is there anybody out there besides me that sees Bill Lockyer as a viable and a good candidate for the office of governor? I like him as senator, and I think we have reason to look at him seriously as a potential candidate for governor in the job that he's done as attorney general. And the only thing I've heard bad about him as attorney general so far, and I don't really know the details on it, is that it's my understanding he kind of made a mistake somewhere along the line relative to gun rights, gun ownership, and the like. So if that's true, I'm certainly going to have to modify my opinion about Bill Lockyer. But he hasn't announced yet, and he hasn't said he wasn't going to. And I think that he's one of those folks that would most certainly make a race out of it. Bill Lockyer's he's been a good attorney general, and he's a real good senator. So he's another one of those candidates that's not a candidate just yet. What is the number? Does anybody have an accurate count on the number now? I know last I heard there were over 500 people were on. And, oh, Lord, Ben from Salinas is calling in, Rosemary. Oh, give me to him. I can hardly wait. Ben, now you got to be happy today. We got a good mood. Are you in a good mood today, Ben? You going to talk to me?
Yes, I'm in a wonderful mood.
Okay, good.
Here's my wonderful mood.
Because I don't want to spend the rest of my show talking about Ben.
No, the number one qualified person is Mr. Leon Panetta. Number two is Bustamante. We don't need a right-wing fascist Republican and a Schwarzenegger wannabe Nazi for the government.
See, you're doing real good there. But
well, I'm telling you.
No. Let's back up just a minute because I want to talk about those.
Yes, sir.
The first two you're talking about. My problem with Bustamante.
Yep.
Did he not say he wasn't going to run?
Yes, he did.
Do you think it's a good idea to elect somebody to the officer of governor of the state of California that has already proven himself to lie?
Yeah, just like going to war for weapons of mass destruction that were never there. That's the truth, huh?
Well, I don't know, Ben. That one's not done yet. That one's not done yet,
Give me a break,
Ben.
Richard. You're an intelligent man.
Yes,
you know that war is based on a lie for the wealthy people. Why don't you admit it?
Obviously, they have weapons of mass destruction.
Well, yeah?
If only in the form of those people that, as we speak, are over there attempting in every way possible to kill our guys.
Yeah, because it was just like when Germany occupied Poland. You fight for your own country. If the Chinese were to occupy California, we'd be knocking off Chinamen.
Well, if we were doing the kind of stuff that Saddam Hussein was doing to people in California, the Chinese would probably be totally justified in coming to California, and we would not be justified in resisting.
Richard, now, we are the ones with the atomic weapons and the biologicals. That's correct.
We are the only nation in the world that has ever nuked another country. That is absolutely correct, Ben. There's no way around that. And
Does that make us right?
It is our shame that we have to live with it. No. As a matter of fact, it confirms how wrong it is. And since we have firsthand knowledge of how wrong it is, then it only makes sense to do everything we can to see that nobody else follows that act.
Well, let me see if I'm following you correctly. It's proper for us to show up with a boatload of nukes and blowing them up because they want to have nukes.
Well, I don't think anybody's nuked anybody since World War II.
No, we're the ones with the boatload of nukes, though. They don't have them. We're accusing them of wanting them, and yet we conveniently put a hand over our eyes with North Korea, China, and Russia, our good buddies, and then we want to put this Schwarzenegger Nazi in the California White House?
Well, I don't think so, sir. Okay. And thank you for calling.
And I am happy to bring you the good news that Leon Panetta will make an excellent governor, but I don't know if he's going to run. I've spoken with him personally. He just doesn't want to get involved with all the fundraising BS.
Well, whatever his reason is, I'm sort of relieved that he's not. And I'm sorry that Bustamante went the way that he did, because if you've listened to my show with any regularity, you'll know that I've been a big fan of Mr. Bustamante.
I listen to you all the time, Richard.
And
we know that all politicians lie. It's part of the job description.
I understand that, and it just doesn't make it forgivable. You know, it just doesn't make it forgivable. And that's one thing, you know, you strike me as a man that is
I love my country. I know that,
and I get the feeling that you're politically right and socially, I mean, you know, for lack of a better word, socially left. I think you have a lot of compassion, but I do believe that you're a constitutionist. I believe you believe in the fundamentals.
Well, Richard,
but we cannot. There's no such thing as a little lie. There's no such thing as an acceptable lie. And you don't elect one liar over another because he's not as big a liar as the first.
But to put us politically on the same field, I'll leave with this: neither you nor I believe any bureaucracy should force you to wear a helmet on your own motorcycle when it's your right to put your life at risk if you choose. You can enjoy your motorcycle the way you want. The bureaucracy should not be there. They're there to protect you, not to oppress you.
Ben, the whole thing with the helmet law comes down to functioning as a socialist society when we are, in fact, not a socialist society, and that's where that breaks down.
Thank you, sir.
I agree. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
We haven't had Ben on in a while, and that was a rather pleasant pleasant chat. I don't expect I'll be getting any calls to talk about Ben for the next 5 minutes. So all lines are open, 479-1080, 477-1340. And so we've had two votes for Leon Panetta. I gave my little Larry Flint. We got a couple guys for Larry Flint. Schwarzenegger is the one that started all this with his announcement yesterday. And we're looking for anybody else. I'm hoping that somebody will come up with nobody we haven't talked about, somebody we haven't talked about before, a sleeper that nobody knows about, that we can pop our heads up and keep an eye out for, somebody that is a serious contender. Because it's pretty hard to tell in this field who the right guys are for this job. Well, we're going to switch subject on you because John wants to talk about helmet laws, and there's just no way for me to resist that one. John, are you there?
Hey, how's it going?
Well, pretty good. What do you got on helmet laws today?
Well, I just think it's so ironic that Ben is against the helmet law when had he been wearing a helmet when he obviously fell off a motorcycle.
Oh, John, why do you do this to me? You know that I don't like character assassinations of my other callers. You know I don't like to do that.
I know. But if he'd only been wearing a helmet, do you realize...
John.
He wouldn't be on the medication.
I got it, John. And it's
okay.
And it's funny, but it's inappropriate. But thanks anyway.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And now Vernon, my goodness, I've never talked to Vernon on the radio.
Hey, Richard, how you doing?
Welcome to that end of KSCO.
Well, I thoroughly enjoy you. This is the bottom line that I have, is people need to come to grips with the fact that no elected official is going to solve the problems of the state, and we've got apathy. We are the problem, number one, and people are just ignorant of their government. You bring these things up all the time.
Yeah, and
until we get involved actively, you know, when you got 40% of people voting, you got problems.
Well, and it's worse than that because I think, Vernon, because I think even of those 40% that vote, God bless them for getting to the polls, the half of them really don't care. I don't even know what takes them to the polls because they will not do anything past that point. And going to the polls doesn't get the job done.
And going to the polls ignorant of the issues and the budget stuff, I'd like to do a show with you sometime on that. Anyway, we're coming to the top of the hour. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, I appreciate you watching the time for me, Vernon. It's really good for you to give me a call. And absolutely, I'd love to have you on the show sometime. We'll sit here and roast somebody worthy of roasting.
You betcha. You can't have a government of, for, and by the people where the people themselves don't participate. Go ahead.
That's absolutely correct.
And that's the condition the country's in. If you look at money as a person's vote, what's most important to us is entertainment, not the running of our country.
Amen, Vernon.
Thank you.
I swear, man, right on the money. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that's very nice. I haven't heard his voice on the radio in a long time. I guess maybe I don't listen enough. But, yes, he's right. And, yes, that is my soapbox. I sit here, and I guess the world's worst cheerleader. Because I have not been able to move people to get involved past the point of their vote. And don't get me wrong, I don't want you to stop voting so that you're doing absolutely nothing. It's very important that folks get to the polls and help others that may have a transportation problem. There may be anything that we can do to help people that have a difficulty, a limitation that they feel in getting their vote cast. As citizens, it makes good sense for us to help them, even if they're not voting our direction, even if they're taking our vote out. We need that voter participation. We need for people to understand that they have a role in this government and they have a place in this government. And Vernon's right. What a great line. The people, by the people, for the people. It is by the people that is important in this whole thing. You know, what people are missing and what folks are ignoring is the fact that this form of government that we have relies on the participation of the citizens. And if we as citizens continue to sit around and leave our fate to the lobbyists and the special interests and the folks that actually will get out of bed and go down and pick up a banner and carry it down the street, then I guess we deserve what we get. Don't know. We'll see what happens in this governor's race. I hope you had a good time today. I got to tell you, I'm a little disappointed with the turnout, but I can live with it. This is KSCO, AM 1080, Santa Cruz. My name is Richard Quigley. Thank you very much, Michael. See you folks next week. It's 1 o'clock.